Daryl and Joyce Henson, InStep Ministries, you guys spend what, 9 or 10 months out of the year in Eastern Europe? Ministering and encouraging pastors. And I think everybody knows, there might be some of you online don't know this, but Joyce is also my sister. So why don't you come and minister to us? Lord, I thank you for Joyce and Daryl, and I pray, Lord, that the word that comes from their mouths, Lord, would touch our hearts. Let it be your word. Amen.
Well, it's great to be back here. We're no strangers to Spring City, and it feels like home. But I just want to share with you a little bit of what God's doing in our ministry. We are back traveling. In fact, this last 6 months, I've counted up, we've been on 25 different airplanes, 10 different trains, and 2 different long-distance buses. So that's our life. But God is working throughout Eastern Europe. We've even added a few other stops along the way as God directs. Because of connections that we had in Poland, we ended up in India to visit some of our boys who had studied in Ukraine, actually in Poltava, Ukraine. And we ended up in Istanbul, Turkey, because that was the place we could connect with one of our pastors from Russia. So God puts us in different places for different times for different reasons, but we always like to listen to his voice, walk in his steps, and be where he needs us at that time. I'd like to just encourage you to remember us in prayer. If you're a prayer warrior, a prayer person, put this on your prayer calendar. September 7, 8, and 9, we are gathering a number of our pastors together in Poland for a conference. And the theme of this conference is draw near to me. Like God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And what we want to do is give these pastors and leaders a time to get away from the giving, busy schedule to just sit in the presence of the Lord and just to receive, to be refilled, to be renewed, to be refreshed, so they can go back to their countries and continue the giving that they're doing. So at the present time, we know we have 7 different pastor couples from Moldova coming. We have 6 or 7 different churches from Ukraine represented from their pastors and leaders, and also 6 or so from Poland represented coming to this conference. So it's an international gathering of pastors and leaders, but we just want this to be a time where they receive, because so many of them right now are just giving. And any of you who have been in a job where you're continually giving but you don't have time to receive, you burn out. And we don't want that for our pastors. We want them to have something to give. So just remember us and them in prayer here, September 7, 8, 9. They'll leave on the 10th. But just to cover them, we really believe God's people coming to pray over them, to anoint them, and to bless them. So thank you.
Well, it's good to be here again. And I was glad to hear that Ben Dietrich was here last Sunday. That was a blessing for you, I'm sure. And I want to thank him for preparing the way for me, because I know Ben carries an anointing on his life. So wherever he's going, I'm following in that anointing with him. He's a good guy, and you know that because his parents are here. Thankful that we're able to travel, as my wife said. We're also thankful that we have good health to do that, because otherwise it would be a little hard to travel if you don't have such good health. So we do thank God for that, but we also invite people to pray for that all the time for us, that our health stays strong so we can continue to do what we're doing. We live in Poland. We travel a lot, but we do have a place in Poland. And one of the things that we enjoy doing once in a while, and we've visited some of these castles that, you know, were useful back in many years, centuries back. And it's enjoyable to go in those castles. And what I like is that when you step into an old castle like that, you try to figure out what it would be like if you were living in that time. You know, you try to think about what it feels like for for the person living in the castle. Sometimes the castles were kings, other times they were lords under the kings, but they were living in those kind of, you know, really old stone, cold places. When you're in them, you're trying to imagine really how would that be something good, you know, like, because they're very cold and they're very old and the dampness is there. Some of them have been like inwardly renewed with wood, and so I think that helped a lot. But I think about what it's like to be the king, you know, to live in a place like that. And as I'm thinking about that and walking through the place, imagining how it would be, then I start to think about how the people feel who are in his kingdom and what would it be like to be one of those. You know, usually they are not in the castle. They are coming inside the walls sometimes, but usually very few of them would get inside the castle. But they did live inside the walls or just outside of the walls. So there is a kingdom then that the king had to be concerned about. And all from this place, you can see that there's an example that we have in the kingdom of God. That God has a place, that God has a place for us, that God, who is the king, does have a kingdom, and he's caring for each one of us. And I want to begin on Romans 14 today. It's a passage that we can often read as a Christian person, not quite thinking through it. Romans 14 through 18. I know, and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus, that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything unclean, to him it's unclean. Yet if the brothers grieve because of your own food, you're no longer walking in love. So do not destroy with your food the one for whom God, or whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Now here's the real main point here. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. When you have a sentence like that, it's referring to what was just before, right? So it's referring to what he just says is the kingdom. But the kingdom is not eating and drinking, he says, because that's the temporary things. The eating and drinking is the stuff of our daily life that is important to us, but overall is not so important to the overall arcing purpose of God in the world. In other words, you have your preferences. You like certain things, and you don't like certain things. I happen not to like fish very much. And I always get a supporter when I say that. Places that we travel, particularly, you know, people say you're living in the wrong place because we're in Gdansk, Poland, on the Baltic Sea. And people in Poland eat fish. I mean, so does Ukraine people and Russian people. In that whole region over there, they like their fish, you know. So people, you know, think that everyone's going to eat fish. Usually, if I'm going to a place that I've been before, they know that. Every once in a while, I get surprised. But usually, people who know me tell the person ahead of us that when Daryl comes, don't serve him fish. You can give him most anything, but just please don't give him fish, because now they've learned that about me, and so they tell that. I had a guy one time ask me, why don't you like fish? I said, it's not that I don't like the fish, it's they don't like me. Because when I put him in, he tries to get back out. But it's not, you know, the kingdom of God is not about what I like to eat or don't eat. It's not about drinking. It's not about these kind of things. What is it about? He says it is about righteousness, peace, and joy. These are three things that represent probably the the three areas of our Christian life, really, when you look at it. They're the first one being righteousness in relation to God. It's denoting here the right relationship to God. So the first one's talking about our relationship to God. It's saying this is what's important. Then secondly, he says about peace. That's in reference to how we deal with our neighbors, our people around us. And that's about the unity that God wants us to have with people. So the brotherhood, the brothers and sisters in Christ, that's important to God. So the third one he says is joy in the Holy Spirit. But that's referring to something more in respect to who we are. It's about us now. And so that joy, that phrase, joy in the Holy Spirit, is representing Christians who are thinking and feeling about being under the work of the Holy Spirit so that the joy can come out of us. Now, that's three things that are very important to God. He wants righteousness, he wants peace, and he wants joy to be in the Christian's life. And when you're under the work of the Holy Spirit, those things begin to emerge in a very fresh way. So what is the kingdom of God? Well, what is a kingdom? The kingdom is all of the people, all of the place, but it's also all of the reign of the king. What is a king? You know what a king is. He's the one who's over all. He's ruling. He's reigning. He's the one who's giving guidance and direction. He's the one who's leading the way and protecting. The king is over all. 1 Timothy 6:13 and 16, Paul is commissioning to Timothy, and he says, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who is in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, who no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. That's the commission Paul gave to Timothy. Wow, I would like to be in that commissioning. I want to hear those words spoken to me, because there's power in those words. He's declaring who God is and who he's going to be for Timothy. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Timothy, get the point. You're not in charge. You're not the king. But Jesus is your king. He's the righteous one, the holy one. He's the one who's over all. And he's there for you. The Lord of lords and the King of kings. Now, when we're talking about kingdoms, we have to look at what's the difference between a republic, or also is known as a democracy, or a kingdom, because there's a difference between the two. Kingdom and democracy is not the same. So the monarchy is a form of government where a state is headed by the monarch, and then the democracy or the republic is a government headed by elective representatives. So the monarchy is not elected. The other one is elected by the people. And so power and position is passed by heritage through a monarchy, but democracy principally supports elections. In other words, it's supposed to be the people's choice in the democracy. You can change the word for republic, by the way, so that we understand. But God has a kingdom. He does not have a democracy. He does not have a republic. He has a kingdom. And so that's why when Jesus was born, before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesies that to us a child is born, a son's given, and then the government will be on his shoulder. Because it's a kingdom, not a democracy. And in Colossians it says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So the kingdom is under the Son, Jesus Christ. And it's a kingdom, not a democracy. But the kingdom of God is also not a religion. You can, you know, understand when people say there's a religious person. We can accept that. I mean, I remember when I was young, growing up, and certain people who, you know, they had Bibles in their home or they had something on the wall, and we said they're a religious person. But you really don't know what that is, and we don't know what they are. But it's just a phrase or a title we put on people. They're religious. Religion is merely a system of rules. It is a system of rules for your life. It's an agreed upon set of doctrines. It's a recognition of also somebody greater than you. Okay, so that's religion. And a lot of people fall under that category then in our world. I do not say they're Christian, but a lot of people fall under the religious category in our world. And the kingdom of God then instead becomes rather an extension of the kingdom of heaven that comes into this world. So when Jesus says the kingdom of God has come, it's at hand, some verses say. When he says that, he means this kingdom which I come from, which I represent, this kingdom where it was in heaven, now when I come into this world, I bring it with me, and it's here. A kingdom is here. In the midst of all of our own understandings of how the world should look, there is a kingdom of God that has entered into this world. And Jesus went about all Galilee, Matthew 4:23, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. In Matthew 10:7, Jesus says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Luke 9:2, "And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." The kingdom of God is a kingdom of joy, as we first read here. It's a kingdom of joy, that God's joy, it's not man's joy. It's not a joy that you can create or, you know, stir up in yourself. It is a joy that comes by the King of who's in your life, and he brings his king joy in you. It's not our joy. So when you look at Romans 15:13, "And now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." He will fill you with all joy, but it's the joy of his kingdom. The fruit of the Spirit includes joy, but it's because it's the fruit in the kingdom of God. It is not the fruit that we create or grow or develop ourselves. It is from the kingdom of God. "And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." That's what Jude 1:24 says. There is a joy. It comes from the kingdom. The kingdom of God has peace within it. And so it's a peace that's not man's peace. And so then there is a peace that can be temporarily created by our own selves. And all of us have tried it and done it. We create a peace based upon the things that we want. And when we get the things that we want, we have a peace. It is a version of peace, but it's not the kingdom peace. So there was a Christian woman who comes to the pastor, and comes to the pastor to tell him, not to ask for advice or counsel, but to tell him, "I'm not happy with my husband, I'm going to leave him." After some discussion, the pastor says to her, "You know, your husband, I know him. He's willing to get help. He's willing to go to professional counselors. He's willing to work on the relationship with you. And he is willing to do whatever you want him to do. So why don't we begin the process of healing and restoration in that way? And she says, no, because I have a peace that I'm supposed to go from him. Now, she has a kind of a peace, right? It's not the peace of Christ that's supposed to be reigning in her heart. It's not the peace of the kingdom of God. That is the peace of doing what you want to do, and you satisfied your own desire, and now you say, I have a peace about it. And the pastor said, I warn you, if you go that way, that is not the peace of Christ, and it cannot go well for you. And so she continued on her way and pursued her own desires, and she had this wonderful peace, and she got married to another guy, and she lost her peace. Because that is not the kind of peace that is lasting peace. It's not eternal peace. It's not in the kingdom of God. That is a peace that we have created that says, I want this, I satisfy my desire from this, and I feel good, and we label it as the peace. But the kingdom of God has a peace that's much greater than that, but it comes from an allegiance to the King. If you're in the kingdom of God and you give your allegiance to Him only, then you will have a peace that is so strong deep inside of you, and it will last. Peace I leave with you, said Jesus. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. I give it to you, though. Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't be afraid, because I give you peace. That's a good peace. And the kingdom of God is righteousness. It is a righteousness of God, not a righteousness of man. We continue to try and recreate righteousness. Even the Christian continues to try and recreate righteousness for ourselves. We do certain things. We create a scenario around our life that looks good so that we can look righteous, so that we can feel righteous, so that we can be approved by God. But if you're in the kingdom of God, you're already approved by God. If you're in the kingdom of God, you're already His. You're with Him. And so the righteousness is there for you. It's His righteousness. It's the King's righteousness that's given to you. Like the King who comes to you, takes his robe off and puts it around you and says, you're mine. You're in me. So you come under that King's righteousness. We're all as unclean things, and our righteousness is filthy rags, says Isaiah. All our own righteousness is just filthy rags. It fades away. Like the wind who comes and goes, it will blow away again. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Do not seek to make yourself righteous to God, but seek the kingdom of God. Because when you come to the kingdom, you're with the King, and your focus is on Him, and the righteousness begins to be appreciated and received from Him because of what He's done for you. Religion versus kingdom. What's the difference? Worldwide, there's probably about 30,000 registered Christian denominations right now, even more. And yet, we can read the scriptures and learn that there's only one kingdom of God. You can have a lot of denominations, a lot of movements, a lot of organizations, a lot of ministries, but really there is only one kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a religion. It's a form of government based on legal terms in the spirit that we come under. It is not just a place, but it is a reign of God in our lives. How did Jesus react and respond to those who were the religious leaders? You know how he reacted? He rebuked them. He told them, stop it. Get away from the people. Don't hassle them. Don't put your stuff on top of them. Don't burden them with that. Why? Because he said, I am bringing the kingdom of God to them. It is at hand. It's here. So the religious leaders were offended by him because he was not following the system of rules that was accepted for that time. He was, in fact, bringing a new rule, a new government, a new law that says, in the kingdom, they're free to be who they're supposed to be because they're with me. I'm the king. And so religion would have you to believe that entering the kingdom comes after death, but Jesus didn't say, unless you change and become dead, you'll never enter the kingdom. He didn't say that. He says, come into the kingdom now. There is a dying to self that requires us to lay down our life in order to be part of the kingdom of God, because we are surrendering our lives to the King. We're giving allegiance to the King. We're promising our life to Him. But that kingdom is here, now. What news is there in this kingdom? And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come, says Matthew 24, 14. But many say that when the gospel is preached throughout the world, Christ will return. And yet, what exactly is the gospel? Is it the preaching of a religion? Is it the preaching of Jesus Christ just from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? What gospel did Jesus preach? It was the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, that there is a reign of a king who wants to embrace you as part of his kingdom. You step into him and you step into his kingdom. It is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, that has come with Jesus Christ. Matthew 4, chapter 4, 17, 23. From that time, it says, after what time are we talking about? This is written after the desert temptation experience that Jesus had when the devil come to him. It's written after John the Baptist was put in prison. But then it goes on, and Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. After what time? After he had confronted the enemy, who tempted him three times. And he stood firm in the word of God, and he said, it is written. And after that experience, he then announces the kingdom of heaven is here. What gospel did Jesus send his followers to preach? What gospel did Jesus want believers to preach? As you go and preach, say the kingdom of heaven's at hand. That was his words. Say the kingdom of God is here. And the kingdom of God does not have members in it. It has citizens in it. It is not a membership into an organization or a fellowship or a church or whatever you're talking about. It is not a membership in it. It is to be a citizen in the kingdom. Right now, Joyce and I need to renew our U.S. passports. It costs about $160 to renew your passport, by the way, in case you haven't done it for a while. And that renewing of the passport just renews the fact that we are a U.S. citizen, and when we have this passport, we come as a U.S. citizen to whatever country we go to. And they want to check that out when you come into their country. You cannot go to the border guard and come up and say, I'm a U.S. citizen. He's like, give me your passport. I don't have it right now, but I'm a U.S. citizen. He's like, I want to see that you're a U.S. citizen. Give me your passport. Well, I can tell you that it's back home in my dresser, you know, and it says I'm a U.S. citizen. They're going to say to you, okay, you can turn around and go back on the same plane you just came and have a good time back in the U.S. because we need to know you're a U.S. citizen. They're not asking me if I'm a member of this country. They're not asking me if I'm affiliated with this country. They want to know, are you a citizen of the United States of America? If you're not able to prove that you're a citizen, they cannot let you in because they don't know what citizenship you have. If you do not know that you're a citizen in the kingdom of God, other people will not know what citizen you are. You have to understand that when you come to Christ and you surrendered your life to Him, you come under the King and you're in His kingdom. You're a citizen of that kingdom and you represent that kingdom. And wherever you go, you have a paper from the King that says, He's a citizen in my kingdom. And He represents our kingdom. You're not an official representative, but unofficially, every one of us becomes a representative of America when we travel somewhere else. And I can tell you, I'm not so proud of some Americans I see when they're traveling around. I think they're not representing us very well, but I won't go into those details. The kingdom of God does not have members, it has citizens in it. And Jesus said His kingdom is not of the world. He never said His kingdom was not in the world. He said it's not of this world. The kingdom of God is a government of heaven and Christ. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is bringing His authority over us. But He doesn't say that you're not in the world. He just says this kingdom that you're in, the kingdom of God, is not of this world. It's from another place called heaven. And so the citizens of the kingdom of heaven make up what we call the ecclesia, or the called out ones. We are the ones who are called out. Out of what? Out of our world, out of our culture, out of our society. We're called out of that into a new kingdom, but we are still here in this place, in this culture, in this society. So we are of another kingdom, but we represent that kingdom in this world. And all kingdoms exist to have a domain. They manage a domain around them. And when one is born again, he leaves one domain and goes into a new domain. So you came from the domain of darkness into the domain of light. So when you were born again, you moved into a new kingdom, a new domain, under a new authority, under a new king. Because you are now in the kingdom of God. And your righteousness is not from you then, it's from Him. Your relationship to God is because of Him. After that, it says in Matthew 6, 9 to 10, after this manner, therefore pray, Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer that Jesus said. This is the model prayer. He says, if you want to know how to pray, pray that. What's He telling you in there? You're from another place. You belong to another kingdom. So pray in that way. Pray in the way that you're a citizen of the kingdom of God and ask God to bring that kingdom into reality around you, in your own life, in the people you relate to, in your situations you're dealing with. Bring the kingdom of God into that place. It's not a religion. It's a government. And the kingdom of God is not we the people, as it says in our constitution in America. It's thus says the Lord. It's a different kind of a kingdom. It's a very different kind of a kingdom. Adam and Eve, did not lose their religion when they rebelled against God. They lost their kingdom understanding. Because to rebel against God is to be able to commit treason to the king and say, I'm not listening to him. And so they didn't just give up their religion, but what they were doing is turning their backs on God. They were defying God as his authority in their life, and they were stepping away from what it means to be in the kingdom of God and to serve the king. You know, the kingdom of God, it's not a democracy. I already said it, but I'm reminded of this father that I heard about. He said he was with a teenage son. He said he explained to the son, because the son was now driving, you know, he explained to the son that there is a time when you should come home in the night. There's a certain time you should be home. And they discussed about that and why it's important. And he says, but you need to be home. Well, it happens that the son came home and he didn't come home on time one time. And the father says to the son, you were not on time. He says, well, I was. He said, I couldn't help what happened, but I was on time. And he says, no, I don't think we understand each other. You were not here on time. And he says, when I say to be here on time, I mean here. But when you think of on time, you might be thinking that it means when you think about coming home, or it means when I leave the place I'm at to get home, as long as it's on that time. He said, but that is not to be on time here in the house. And he said, so I need you to be in the doors of this house on that time. And the son said, that is not fair. And he said, what do you mean? He said, well, we didn't discuss this. We didn't take any, you know, vote on this. We didn't have any agreement on this. And the father said, well, what are you talking about? He says, well, what if I lose track of time? The father says, if you lose track of time, I will lose track of your privileges. So if you lose track of time, it means when you come home, the next time, you'll not be able to go out. And you will lose track of time, and I will lose track of your privileges, and we'll be even. And the son says, but that's not right, because we should be able to vote on this. He said, well, you understand, there would be two votes. And he says, so in the end, you're going to vote no, I'm going to vote yes, but I have the right to veto you. So he says, you still need to be on time. And you see, the kingdom of God is like that. It doesn't function in a democracy setting. It functions as a king over his kingdom. And we need to submit to that and understand it if we're going to enjoy the blessings of God in our life, because the abundant life is not going to come in trying to negotiate with God. Some kingdom principle is understood the same thing in a marriage. It's a great mystery, but the woman should be able to safely rely on her husband to direct her, care for her, protect her. He doesn't say you cannot give your opinion. He doesn't say you cannot talk to me about things. He invites that, actually. But in the end, he says, we collect this information, but I still now say, this is probably the best way for now. It is not the kind of submission, then, that is to negate the other person's understandings of things. But there is still a king in the kingdom. And he will understand everything you say. He will listen to your cares. He will want to know what you're thinking. But in the end, he will make a decision. The kingdom of God reveals that we're a joint heir with Christ. And the kingdom of God is like a father-son relationship with kingdom rules or reign. There's a dominion over the earth and over the animals and the environment. But God never gave man to have dominion over another man. He gave him to rule over this world. That's the original intent of what it meant to have a relationship with God and with each other. But God's intent, really, for his dominion in this world, God's intent was interrupted by the fall of man, by the rebellion of man. And that became that act of treason against God. But God provided the way through the blood of Christ as the atonement to restore the truth and the life. The kingdom of God is righteousness. It's peace, it's joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the kingdom of which God rules over all of us. And the believers of Christ are citizens in the kingdom then. And the citizenship is paid for by the blood of Christ. You do not have to pay for it. You do not have to renew a passport for it. But Christ already paid the price for it. The only thing that you renew is you continue to renew your love and your devotion to him because of what he's done for you. That by the citizenship, we have then an authority to bring that kingdom to other places, to other people, to other situations. It's not a religion, it's a kingdom. And in the kingdom, there is always a king. And we have a king called Jesus. And I want to read for you Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, as I end this time together. Psalm 24, 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who's the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He's the King of glory. And then it ends with that word, Selah, as it is in Psalms sometimes. And that means pause and think about that again. Now, I could read it again, but I think you already can remember what we read. The Lord, strong and mighty, he's the King of glory. That's the citizenship you belong to. That's the authority that comes with you because of who you belong to. And you remember daily that who he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And when you keep reminding yourself of who he is, you remind yourself also of who you are and who you are in the kingdom, and you bring the kingdom authority into the situations you're dealing with. So sometimes you are dealing with some difficult things, and right now some of you are dealing with difficult things. You're in situations you don't know the answer for at this moment, but God has an answer if you invite his kingdom into that situation, and he will give you the peace that comes with that because you're surrendering to him, not to your own desires. And when you speak to those situations, you speak as one who has authority and is in the kingdom of God. And you say, in the name of Jesus. That's what that means, you know, in the name of Jesus. In the name of this kingdom, in the name of our King, Jesus, we come and say, devil, you cannot do this. But God, I ask you to do this. There is a power and authority that comes when you know that you're a citizen in the kingdom of God because of who he is. You're just simply connecting with who he is as the king of the kingdom, and you're pulling on that authority and you're relating it to the situation you're in so that there is no room for darkness to stay in that place anymore. But light has to come because the kingdom of God is coming to that situation. Every time that Jesus said that he was coming to bring the kingdom of God, he brought healings and miracles and powerful things happened. And those are the things people saw. There was unseen things that people didn't see, but was still happening. It doesn't record in the Bible everything that happened, but you can just imagine now, if there's a power to bring healing and miracles in that situation, there's power for deliverance then for people. There was power to bring restoration in marriages and bring all kinds of other things that needed to happen. They're not all recorded in the scripture, but you know, you can believe that if those are happening, these other things are happening with it. That's what it means for the kingdom of God to be at hand. It means it's there. It's at work. It's powerful. And the reign of God is moving in our lives. It's moving all the time. The power of God is always moving. And when you don't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there. The kingdom of God is an unseen kingdom. But every once in a while, God gives us those small little glimpses of what it is, how it can look. Because you see a miracle, you see a healing. And when you see that, it's just a small thing to represent all that God can do in the kingdom of God when it's here. It's not out there. It's not some other country, but the kingdom of God is also here, right here. And we look at other countries and we say, how come God is healing people there? Okay, it's true, he is. But God is here. The kingdom of God is here. And the power of God is the same here as it is there. The presence of God can be the same here as it is there. And the desire in us should be the same as those in other countries who see those things happening. Why? Because we're in the kingdom. We're citizens. I know I'm an American because I'm a citizen. When I stand in another place, I try to understand their culture and fit in and move among the culture. But inside, I still know who I am. I'm an American in terms of my citizenship on earth. And I still feel that is true for me. But when I'm in the kingdom of God, I have to also feel the same way. I can move in different circles in different places, but I have to know the kingdom of God is here and I'm in it and I bring the kingdom with me in this place where I'm at. So it doesn't matter where I get off the plane. The kingdom of God is with me and I'm in the kingdom and I know that he can do great things wherever I go. And if we don't believe it, we won't see it. That's the other part. If you don't believe that you're a citizen in the kingdom and you don't believe the kingdom is here, you don't see the things of the kingdom. It's all part of that. So when God says, you're mine, you're in the citizenship, you have to say, I believe that. I believe that. I know it. And right now I want to speak to one woman right here in the blue, third row back. Because yesterday God told me, I'm going to talk to a woman who's in blue, and I see you and you're the one. And God said, there's a situation you've been dealing with and you've been troubled about it. You wanted it to change for some time now. You're concerned about it. You don't know what else to do, but you've been trying to do what you can do. But the situation now is in the hand of God. And he says, let it be in the hand of God, but keep proclaiming the word over that situation, because God is about to move and extend the kingdom of God to you in a powerful way. And those things that you're concerned about are going to become the testimonies of God in this world. They're going to become the grace that you see of God working in your life and with these things. And whatever it is that you're most concerned about, God said to me, you're going to see the power of God in that situation like never before, because the kingdom of God is being extended right now to that place and that situation. Amen. I hope you understand it, because that's all I know. right here in the back. I want to tell you, brother in the back, that there's a plan for your life that God has been unfolding. It's still unfolding, but the new thing that's coming is going to be a little bit of a surprise for you. You've not really thought about doing these things very much, but there's something you're going to do now that is a bit in the background of your mind, but now God is pushed to the front, and he's going to say, now's the time for it, and he's going to release you into that thing so that you can be a blessing to somebody else with that thing that you're going to do. There's a plan of God, and let it be in his hand as the plan of God. Don't try to take it back and make it a plan, but let him keep planning it for you, because that's a beautiful thing he's going to do to help somebody else as well as yourself. Amen. Okay, this guy right here, he's sitting right there in the back. Yeah, he's next to you. Yeah, the one you just looked at. Yeah, and so there's things around you right now that are a little bit kind of disappointing, maybe a little bit frustrating. There's something in your life that is a bit out of whack, and God is saying, you know what, I can bring things into line. I can straighten them out. I can correct them. And so if you just give it to me right now, I'm going to straighten that thing out for you. It's a little bit uneasy or uncomfortable for you. Give it to God. Let him do it. He's going to straighten it out for you. And he's going to put something in front of you that's going to help you to know what to do so that things get straightened out. Amen. Now, I hope you understand that as well. I never know what these things are about. Right in the back is the back. Man, green shirt. I think it's green. I'm not always clear about colors, but yeah. Yeah, it's somewhere between pink and purple or something. You know. it's basically green. So there's, I don't know what your job is, but there's something in the job that's changing for you. And when you get back into the workplace this week, something's happening for you. And there's a new thing for you in that way. But it's not bad, it's good, so be encouraged. But God is changing something in your job so that you can be and do what you really want to be and do. Okay. And then I want to go, back over here to Ben's dad. I forget. Yeah, David. So, David, there's a joy in the Lord that comes upon you, and the moments when that happens, you feel like you're really, you know, transformed into the presence of the Lord. And the joy that's there, that joy is carrying you through many difficult times. But the joy that is and was there now turns into a joy that you, I'm going to say, not teach other people, but you lead other people into joy, and you're going to help people know how to step from this into joy, from the discouragement into joy, from problems into joy, from things that are going on in their lives into joy. You're going to be like a transmitter of joy and help people move to joy so that they experience the joy that you've had in your own life. And God sees that as a gift that you're going to give to people and help them to do that. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, we ask for your blessings and your covering over us in this place, and that the love of God covers each one of us now, and the peace of Christ and the righteousness of Christ settle into our spirits now, and we surrender again to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who is this King? The King of Glory. Amen.